There's a lot of people in church that are in bondage today. There's a lot of people in the house of God who are living in bondage today. If you have your Bibles, we're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse number 17. For the Lord is the Spirit. And wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. It didn't say wherever there's an anointed preacher, there is freedom. It didn't say wherever there's a large crowd. It didn't say wherever there's the best music. It said where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Now, church, we've built a whole lot of churches and a whole lot of ministries and a whole lot of services on emotion. Whether or not I feel Him or not does not dictate whether or not He's here. You don't have to feel a thing, but the presence of the Lord is right wherever you are. Well, I didn't feel anything. Church, if you're waiting on a feeling, the devil will give you plenty of feelings. For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord, and the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him, for we are changed into His glorious image. The veil He's speaking of, if you read before these verses in this chapter, you'll see that the veil He's speaking of is very much the veil that was on the face of Moses when he came down from the mountain. Moses came down with a glow. There was a visible identifier that they could tell he had been with God. There was something about the disciples in the book of Acts that they took note of them, that they had been with Jesus. Is there something about your life? Is there something distinctive about you as a Christian that lets the world know you have been in the presence of Him? You may not be able to quote the Bible chapter and verse, and that's okay. You may not be able to just prophesy and lay hands on the sick and see them get up off their deathbeds every day, and that's okay. But you can have the Spirit of the Lord with you wherever you go. Amen? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And many have come into this house today bound and oppressed. And I'll do you one better. Many come into this house every week who walk in and walk out and walk in and walk out under bondage. You are bound and you are oppressed and you don't even know it. Many have become so content and so comfortable in their confinement that they don't realize they are actually being held captive. It's so comfortable in that place of confinement. It's so easygoing in that place. You don't even realize you're in slavery. You don't even realize that you're in bondage. Many have laid their head down on the lap of compromise and have drifted off to sleep, assuming that they would always be in full control of their situation. And they have become confined to a prison of their own making. I read a story in the news internet site the other day about in 2004, a 40-year-old Florida woman. And I just want to say, if you want to follow along, the notes are on the church app. You can follow me along there, scriptures and everything. But there was a 40-year-old Florida woman who died after a failed six-hour surgery that was meant to separate her from her couch. She She had sat on this couch for 6 years. 6 years. Same place, same spot, 6 years. She sat there so long that her skin began to fuse with the material of the couch, rendering her immobilized. The place where she once found her comfort and the place where she found her contentment became the place of her confinement and ultimately her demise. Many in the church today face the same dilemma. Many have lingered in the same spot of ministry for so long that they've decided to just settle in and stay put. They have perfected the routine of doing just enough to make it look good, just enough to sell the image. They show up, they do their job, which a lot of times is just the bare minimum, and then they go home, and you can't expect them to do too much else because they're not here to serve the church or serve the kingdom as much as they're just here to serve their own self-image and appearance. That's why usually it's the same few who volunteer in the church kitchen when the church serves at a funeral. Everyone wants to eat. Everyone wants the church to serve their family. But when the time comes, only the same few show up to serve. And it's usually the same few who volunteer week in and week out for the nursery or the children's church. Pastor, you're being mean this morning. You're venting frustration. No, I'm being a pastor this morning. God didn't call me to be an evangelist. He called me to be a pastor. And that means I need to shepherd the flock once in a while. And usually it's the same few who volunteer for children's ministry or youth ministry over and over and over. Nobody else wants to take part in the work. And usually it's the same precious few who pay tithes consistently and keep the church afloat financially. Don't complain about what your church can't afford to do if you're not a contributor. It's the 80-20 rule. 80% do little to nothing, while 20% do mostly everything. 80% do the sitting, the watching, and the complaining, while 20% do the giving, the going, and the serving. 80% all have all the answers, but 20% have a mind to work. Why? Because they become comfortable and cozy in their confinement. Many in the church are bound by outward things such as drugs, alcohol, nicotine. Others are bound by private things such as pornography and self-harm. But today, my focus is on the internal bondage that holds people today, that holds people captive. The outward things we can see. You can see signs of some of these outward and private things. But it's the internal bondage that I want to speak to today. Some are internally bound by a cynical spirit. This is a spirit of doubt that creeps in and binds our faith in God and our faith in each other. We become so accustomed to not seeing our prayers answered that when we do pray, we no longer believe it's going to happen. We have become so accustomed to not seeing the fire fall that when we say we pray for the fire to fall, we don't really believe the fire is going to fall. Don't call yourself Pentecostal if the fire is not sitting on your heart. Don't call yourself fire baptized if you're not fire baptized. Don't call yourself a child of God if you're living in sin. You see? But we're so comfortable and content in our confinement. But the cynical spirit is a spirit of doubt that creeps in and it binds our faith. We see Jesus walking on the water, but we're still scared out of our minds. We know Jesus is asleep in our vessel, but we're still scared to death. Master, why aren't you doing anything? We see it, but we still don't believe it. We say we believe He can, but we don't truly believe that He will. Amen? A cynical spirit can hinder a move of God. In Matthew chapter 13, the Bible says Jesus was rejected at Nazareth They heard him. They saw. They know his reputation. But when he comes back to Nazareth, his hometown, the Bible says that they said, "Isn't that Mary's? Isn't that the carpenter's son? Isn't that Mary's son? Oh, we've known you since you were a boy." They did not take him seriously because they had a familiarity with him. Listen, when God raises up prophets and prophetesses in our church, don't neglect what they have to say just because you've known them since they were in diapers. You keep that cynical stuff to yourself. And when the children and the youth start prophesying, and when they start wanting to lead things because God can't get my generation and above to do it, keep your cynicism to yourself. Because if God can't rely on my generation, God will raise up their generation to do what mine refuses to do. But the Bible says Jesus could do only a few miracles because of their unbelief. I wonder how many people were sick and needed a move of God, but because of the overall unbelief in the town, they didn't get their breakthrough. I wonder how many people come into this church and come out and have for years and have never seen a breakthrough in their life because of the weighty doubt and faithlessness in this house. I told you last fall. Siri's Googling everything I say. Hush. Started to rebuke the devil out of that thing. It did that Wednesday night. We were doing our Bible study and Siri said, "Here's what I found." Shut up. Forgot where I was at. Oh, yeah. I told you late summer, early fall last year that there was an epidemic of faithlessness in this church. Some of you didn't receive that too well. Some of you didn't really want to swallow that pill, but it's the truth. We've become so accustomed to not seeing it happen that we no longer believe it will happen. So our prayers often go unanswered, and people come in and leave in bondage, needing a move of God, but they will not find it here when there's no faith in the house. My God, that's a tough pill to swallow, but you better understand that's the truth. The cynical spirit. God has many things, many good things he wants to give his children. He has blessings and healing and salvation of loved ones, yet all are hindered because of our cynicism. We write names on the board, but we don't believe it's going to happen. We've said it all before. I've prayed for them before. Somebody will give you an encouraging word. Yeah, I've heard that before. Well, quit asking for it. If you're going to worry, don't pray about it. And if you're going to pray about it, don't worry about it. Amen? If you're going to pray about it and ask God to do it, trust that he will. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things we don't yet see. Just a mustard seed, but you know how bad it is when he can't find a mustard seed of faith? That's very small. That's little bitty. That's very little. Very little faith. But when he can't find that much, that's a problem. The Hebrews stood at the base of the southern mountains of Canaan. And they heard the report of the spies. The spies said, "Oh, it's everything our ancestors said it was. Everything that God promised that it would be. Everything that we've heard for centuries that it was." But, there's always a but. But there are giants there. But there is obstacles there. But there are headaches there. But there are challenges there. And what we get focused on is the wrong things. We get focused on the challenges that are there instead of the promise of God that says the challenges are temporary, but your promise is forever. You see, they had the promise that the land was theirs. It didn't matter what giants were there. The giants were trespassing on Israel's land. All they had to do was go evict them. They had the glory. They had the authority of the king to send an eviction notice to those giants. But instead of believing the promise, they believe their fear and doubt. Oh, we had it so much better in Egypt. Oh, my goodness, let's just go back to Egypt. Kill Moses, kill Aaron, let's go back to Egypt because we're comfortable there. Some of you are praying for Canaan, but you don't truly have faith that God's going to let you walk in it. Some of you are praying for things for this church and for your lost loved ones, but you don't truly have faith that God's going to do it. Do you truly believe God's going to save you sons and daughters? Do you truly believe, or are you just saying the words while up here you're not really believing it? It's a cynical spirit. I know God can save my son and my daughter, but they're too hard-hearted. They've gone too far. They've done too much. We know God can, but we really don't believe He will because cynicism has put a chokehold on our faith. I want to tell you the truth. That generation of Hebrews did not walk in the promise. God's promises for this church are yea and amen. Did you know that? God's vision, God's purpose for this church is yea and amen. And I'm going to say something that's going to get me in trouble. I already know. I'm going to get to lunch. Nikki's going to say, why did you have to say that? But here we go. If some of us have to die out for this church to realize it, that may be what it takes. We don't want to hear that. I don't want nobody to miss out on it. But I'm telling you, your stubbornness will not hold back the promises of God forever. Amen? I know I'm going to get in trouble at lunch, but that's the truth. But a cynical spirit will keep you from walking in the promises of God. They are for you. But an entire generation of Hebrews lay dead in the wilderness because they refused to believe the promise of God. Instead, they believed their own cynical spirit. In Mark 5, Jesus is called to the house of this ruler, and his daughter is sick, and they send him a message, your daughter is dead. When Jesus gets there, they're mourning around her bedside. Jesus said, she's not dead, she's only asleep, and they laughed at him. But Jesus drew a line in the sand. He said, you can leave. Ready for the second statement that's going to get me in trouble at lunchtime today? Either the cynical spirit needs to leave, or those operating in it need to leave. I'm not mad at nobody, but you better hear me. There are people in this church plowing for a harvest. We are plowing and sowing seed and working the fields daily. You're not going to keep me from realizing what God has for me in this church. You can go ahead and clap right there too. You see? Because the promises of God are yea and amen. This screen keeps locking up on me, so that's why I keep having to punch it in. Jesus drew a line in the sand. The girl's not dead. She's only asleep. When their cynicism rose up in the face of the Word of God. Pastor says, we're going to see a revival. Yeah, okay. We're going to see those sons. Yeah, whatever. Okay. You see, Jesus said, okay, I'm not going to do what I need to do with you in here to see it. Well, Jesus can do anything, anytime, anywhere, but he's setting a principle, I believe, for us. Listen, Papa Bill, greatest man I ever knew, 10 feet tall and bulletproof. My grandpa Bill Grant, going to be with the Lord now 12 years, still shouting probably. Papa Bill used to say, get in, get out, or get run over. Amen. Get in, get out, or get run over. But cynical spirit will hold things back and hinder things. Some are bound by a cynical spirit, but others are bound by a complacent spirit. As long as Samson was comfortable in the lap of Delilah, he posed no threat to the enemy. God gave him the power to defeat. Samson was not given power and authority just to look buff and get Delilah. Samson was given power and authority to defeat the Philistines and to defeat his enemies. But instead of using his power and his anointing for what his purpose was, he found comfort in the lap of the devil. And there are so many people in the church, you've got your head so comfortable in the lap of compromise And I want to tell you, you're never going to realize what God has for you. God raised him up with power and authority, and when he disobeyed and he got so comfortable in the lap of compromise, I don't believe it was cutting his hair that took his power. I believe it was his disobedience and God took his power. Amen? But as long as he was comfortable in the lap of Delilah, he posed no threat to the enemy. He became complacent, and his complacency led him to a false sense of self-assurance. Too many in the church today are guided by a carnal self-assurance. When we believe we need no more Holy Ghost power, no more anointing, no more fasting, no more passionate pursuit of God, you better understand, we are now in grave danger of our complacency blinding us to this reality. Church, we don't matter a hill of beans to this community without the fire of God burning in our hearts. We are of no value to this community by just being here. We are of no value by just showing up once or twice a week. We need the Holy Ghost from heaven. We need the fire of God to consume our hearts again. We bring no value. There's enough churches. They don't need us unless the fire of God is within us. They don't need another church. They certainly don't need another preacher. They need the fire of, oh God. They need somebody on fire for God, full of the Holy Ghost, to walk and speak truth into their storm. They don't need us just because we're here. They don't need us to just say, well, we're Pentecostal. Listen, put up or shut up about being full of the Holy Ghost. I'll say it again. Put up or shut up about it. That's the third thing that's going to get me in trouble today. You see, people who used to cry out to God around these altars and just cry and pour their heart out to God no longer do. Why? Because they've grown complacent where they are. My God. People who used to move in obedience to the Holy Spirit no longer do. Why? Because they've gotten complacent where they are. People who once operated in the gifts of the... Listen, hear me today. The gifts are still in operation. The church is just too lazy. My God. Listen, don't buy this. It's not biblical. You can't back it up with this book that the gifts ceased with the death of the last apostle. There's no biblical proof for that. But there is a biblical word for what we're seeing in the church today. It's called apostasy. It's where the church don't need the fire. The church don't want the fire. We're comfortable in our padded seat. I pray God, if this building is what's keeping us from being hungry, God, take the building. I don't want the building. I don't care about this building. I want the glory of God. That's what we need. Not more refined of screens and all this gimmick stuff. God bless it, but that won't win the lost to Jesus Christ. That won't raise the dead and make the blind to see. That won't cause the deaf ears to open and the lame to run, leap, and praise God. What will is the power of the Holy Ghost in the hearts of hungry people? We don't need more stuff. We need more spirit. But this spirit of complacency is hurting the church. You see, people who once hungered and thirsted for the righteousness of God no longer do because we're complacent. We're satisfied where we are. Cynicism leads to complacency. We've become so critical and skeptical of everything and everyone that we have settled so deep into the familiar that we are unaffected by the winds of change that God sends occasionally to announce the arrival of a new season in our life and a new season for our church. And listen to me, a church that misses its moment is a church that is destined to die. church that misses its moment is a church that's destined to die. God's not giving out participation trophies. Samson never lost an external battle until after he lost the internal battle. Samson never lost a physical fight until he lost the internal battle. He was carrying city gates. He was slaying 1,000 with a Democrat jawbone. Some of y'all get that later. It's the fourth thing that's going to get me in trouble today. But he never lost an external battle until after he lost the internal battle. Church, hear me. Dark clouds are gathering. I want to make a statement. This is not a political statement. This is how I feel it in my spirit. Okay, you okay? You with me? You tuned in? Everybody focused? These 80, bring me those chains, please. These 87,000 IRS agents, it's ironic that it coincides with legislation in the majority of the country. Thank you, David. Legislation in the majority of the country that is trying to take tax-exempt status from churches. They're not worried about individuals. Don't be deceived. This is about to be against the church. You can say what you want to, believe what you want to. Mark it down. I'm telling you right now, this is about to be a battle against the church. Watch it. Watch it. Legislation, if they take tax-exempt status, they're going to have to send agents in to enforce it. And churches all over America will shut down. So just understand, the clouds have been gathering now for a long time, and now we're seeing more of it. So there's no time to be complacent. There's no time to be comfortable and cozy. When the storm hits, it's too late to prepare for it. The time to prepare for the coming storm is right now while we can. You hear me? Revelation 3. The words of him who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know your works. Now here's the part I want you to hear. You have the reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up and strengthen what remains and is about to die. In other words, you are about to lose everything. For I have not found your works complete in the sight of my God. Remember them. Remember then what you received and heard. Keep it and repent. Somebody say repent. If you will not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come against you. You have still a few names in Sardis, people who have not soiled their garments, and they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. The one who conquers will be clothed thus in white garments, and I will never blot his name out of the book of life. I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear not what the preacher is saying, but what the Spirit is saying to the churches. A few verses down at the Laodicean church, he writes, I know your works. He's talking about their works again. You are neither hot or cold. I would that you were either hot or cold. Because you are lukewarm and neither hot or cold, I will vomit you out of my mouth. For you say, here's the church, listen, I am rich, I have prospered, I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel to you, while there's still time, he's saying, I counsel to you, buy from me gold refined by fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, so that you may clothe yourself, and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and salve to anoint your eyes, that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove, I discipline. So be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, let him open the door, and I will come in to him and eat with him and him with me. The King of Glory has sent a reminder to the Cedar Town Church of God today. Repent Repent, you can be freed. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him and he with me. If you're bound by complacency, you don't have to be bound anymore. Paul and Silas were in the prison, in the book of Acts, and they're singing, and they're praising, and they're singing psalms. And all of a sudden, about the midnight hour, there was an earthquake, and the doors opened, and the chains fell off. They were free, but they were still in the prison. Here's a word for you today. Your chains are off, but you've got to walk out of that cell. Your chains, listen, you're saved, but you've got to get out of that prison mentality. Walk out today. Walk out. Listen to me. Freedom reigns in this place. You believe that? This is a place of freedom. This is a grace place for you today. There is freedom in this place because there is freedom in His presence. In His presence, there is fullness of joy. In His presence, there is peace. So get off the couch of cynicism and complacency. Get off the couch of compromise and call to the Lord today while He may yet be found.